This is RTI, Radio Tetris International.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Rad, boys and girls. On a very mixed week this week. It's normally a sort of a comedic sideways look at the news, but unfortunately recently we've had lots of very serious news to cover, which we'll be doing in for you this week. My name's Eric Wiltshire. I'm at the base of the Tatry Mountains in the east of Slovakia, the best part to be in because it's beautiful and it's been snowing in the last 2 days. I've had the honour of meeting Glenn Hoddle. That will be Glenn Hoddle. Glenn Hoddle. Not that I'm biased, you understand, but come on, you Spurs! After this week. And over in the UK, it is none other than Lee Banks.
Hello, you're not doing the zit on the face of the universe and stuff like
no,
that.
I'm too happy.
Too happy?
Yes.
Alright. I met Mr. Hoddle. He was playing for that cricket team, Spurs, wasn't he?
You heathen. You heathen.
Hello, Mr. Hoddle. I love you.
Did you really meet Glendon?
Yeah, I used to. Well, one of my biggest drinking companions, now, this is bragging, but one of my
George Best.
Yeah.
You tell us nearly every other week.
Well, it's just in case people forget. But I've moved in those circles, even though I've got no interest in football at all.
Right.
Well, it was that star circuit, and footballers at that time were suddenly becoming stars like George Best and things. And so I met a lot of them. I'm desperately trying to remember the names while I'm saying it, but Mr. Hoddle was one that I remembered.
I'm not going to give you any help whatsoever. But there you go. So anyway, hi to Glenn and who was here with Neil. Fabulous to see you here. Absolutely great fun. We will be hearing from the young Mr. Hoddle at the end of part one, which is kind of cool. So come on, you Spurs! Again, after this week. Well done, Harry, winning this week in Europe.
Who won in Europe?
Spurs.
Spurs, what did they win?
Well, they won a game. It's not finished yet.
Oh, I see. Oh, right. I'm not pursuing anything to do with game in that subject because I'll just sound cheap and tacky.
Yes, absolutely. So in addition to all that, I'll be looking at the possibilities of what harm that it won't cause with solar flares.
Yeah.
We will be looking at the latest in Bahrain and also Libya now as well. Looking at Mr. Abramovich slightly. The week Lee says that Britain went bonkers. I don't think so.
And you wouldn't, would you?
No, I won't. And some of this stuff I won't. I'm really annoyed about the soldiers who got sacked by email. I just don't believe that. Interest rates are set to go correctly up. He's going to get upset with me in a minute. Then there's a bit about, this is Lee's headline, and I'm going to say you are so wrong. Get us out of Europe as rapists and paedophiles are laughing today at the UK. No, wrong way round.
You can't have it the other way around, I'm afraid, dear. Not in that case.
There are ways. Stop it. I'm going to shut you up. Mark's not with us on the first half, but we are going to try and touch base with him by telephone onto a French train coming from the... where's the posh ski place? Alps, that's it, isn't it?
The Alps.
Is that the one?
Is it in the Alps?
No. That's where you... where there's snow, and what you do is you get this mechanical thing that takes you to the top of the mountain, and then you just... you come back down again.
I know, I've never seen the point in that, have you?
No.
Well, stupid. You have to sit in a basket, like a bread basket, swing it in the air. It's freezing.
Never
it's
seen
snowing.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. You stand on two planks of wood and come back down again.
I could stand on two planks of wood down here and have less chance of breaking my leg.
And stay where you are. That's fine.
Yeah. So that's us, boys and girls. Hi to the listeners in Talk Radio X-Land, Replay Radio Land, Audio Boo Land, and, of course, you wonderful people at RTI and wherever else we happen to be, which seems to be growing by the day. It's quite sad today, actually, although, has to be said, I must remind you all, that the best way to get hold of us, if you want to, is via Facebook. That's a super way to do it, as so many of you have done this week. We'll do lots of messages next week, but we've got a lot to squeeze in this week. Some of it's quite serious, whilst other bits are a bit frivolous, as usual. But the obituary column's up first, and that's Lee.
Yeah, I just think it's really sad. The real Lois Lane. Lois Lane, sorry. Lois. I always say Lois, I don't know why, but Lois Lane, yeah, out of the Superman comics, has finally died. I think that's sad. It's not, you know, she's 93, she's done her time, she's done what she has to do.
Yeah.
But it's just sad when such icons of our past, and in some ways our future, shuffle off this mortal coil. And it's sad as well, because she was married to, she was called Joanne Siegel. And she was married to Superman co-creator Jerry Siegel. And Mr. Siegel, with his mate, who also invented, what's he called? Superman!
Yes.
Right? They actually sold the rights to the Superman stories ages ago at a ridiculously low price. Yeah. And she spent the last years of her life fighting to get back the money she thinks she lost because of that deal, which, you know, is sad, isn't it?
It's a bit really, I suppose. But then again, if you sell it at the time, you sell it, you can't get your car back later.
Absolutely. And when then this... Good night, Peggy. Good night, Peggy. Peggy Ray of the Waltons.
What was the character she played then?
Now you're asking me one that you know I won't know.
Well, I don't know.
She was the grandmother. No, she didn't. She played Olivia Walton.
I never watched the Waltons, actually.
I never watched the Waltons.
Oh, it was so sickly. But the Dukes of Hazzard with the General Lee.
I hate that as well, I thought. That was pathetic. She was in that as well, yeah.
What was she in there then?
Boss Hogg's wife, Lulu.
Oh, she was Lulu. Oh, she was the largest lady then. Larger than life.
Catch me out twice.
Jeepers creepers.
Yeah, no, she was. She was a good-looking lass for her age.
She was a big girl, wasn't she?
Big girl. Nothing wrong with big girls. We all like a big girl.
No. That's all right. Yeah, hey. I remember Boss Hogg's wife, but yeah. I can't do the sound of the General Lee.
Of the what? The General Lee?
Yeah.
Was that the ship?
No, that's the car. The red car in the Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, I thought it was that big steamer with the big wheels on the side.
I give up. I really do. There's two. Can we move on?
Should we move? Go on then. That was my serious bit.
Don't forget, still to come on today's programme, Glenn Hoddle. Come on, you Spurs. Sorry, wrong club. He's not that club anymore, is he? But it doesn't matter. We love you, Harry, for being at Spurs. And we will seriously be talking to Glenn Hoddle. If you've missed out what's been going on with him, Glenn, as everybody on the planet Earth will know, well, unless you've been in Mars, I suppose, is the former England manager. He was a player and a Spurs player as well. And he's been over to Slovakia. He'll tell us why he's been here. Secret.
I have to say about Mr. Hoddle as well.
Yes.
That he actually played for Wolverhampton Wanderers, which is just up the road from me.
Yeah, but he got out.
He did, he got out, and I'm not surprised. They actually managed to beat Manchester City a couple of weeks ago, didn't they?
Manchester United.
Was it Manchester United? Well, I knew it was one of them. Yeah, they beat him.
I know. Next.
Where was Mr. Hoddle?
He was probably in Spain looking after these young kids. He stops them getting into trouble again.
I think that's brilliant.
He's actually very philanthropic. And equally, an amazing thing to see some of these kids have been into real serious trouble. And he's getting them out of trouble, keeping them out of trouble, training them, and actually getting them contracts with championship sides in the UK, which is astonishing.
Right.
Absolutely astonishing.
Well done, Mr. Rubble.
Anyway, so we're going to try and hook up with Mark on part two of it. Serious little thing, because scientists around the world will be watching closely not long after this program's finished, because there's been three eruptions from the sun this particular, well, they're getting to us because it takes a long while to get here, and what they're called is coronal mass ejections. There's nothing naughty in it. It's exactly what they are. They're kind of like a big blob coming from the sun, and the reason this is happening now, because the sun has been very, very quiet recently, and
I've not heard a word of it.
I knew that was coming.
And no, you didn't.
It's so predictable. And the truth is, that the sun does this regularly. There's little cycles of 7 years, 13 years, where it actually does cycle round. And for years...
The sun doesn't cycle round.
It does in terms of years.
Little bicycle clips on and everything.
Yeah. And as Lee will tell you, you are able to see the... Northern Lights, which is the easiest way of saying it, in the UK at the moment as well, aren't you?
We saw something similar to the Northern Lights last night, but they're not really supposed to be here until this weekend. But about, I think it's about 8 years ago, a similar thing happened, and I was driving home in the early hours of the morning, probably about 2 o'clock in the morning, and it was just incredible because the whole of the sky around me, and it was like, you know, when you finally find the end of a rainbow when it's touching the ground, or you perceive that's where it's touching the ground.
Right, yes, let's not get into fairyland.
yeah, like gay Paris.
Yes,
it's like the curtain. It was like a curtain. It was like a green velvet curtain just wafting. Yeah. Across the road, across the field. It was incredible. I woke Andrea up when I came in, and we stood there at the bedroom window for probably half an hour just looking. It was the most incredible thing I've ever seen in my life.
So what the scientists have been going on about, boys and girls, is, and this is where it gets annoying, because the scientists will not have said this, because one of the reports we saw, the biggest flares can disrupt technology, including power grids, communication systems and satellites. That is not what the scientists will have said. Absolute carte blanche.
What the scientists have said.
Possibly. Maybe. But they won't.
But that's what that says.
No,
it says it can disrupt. It says it can disrupt. It doesn't say it is going to disrupt. It says it can.
This is typical journalism where the scaremongering comes in.
It's not scaremongering. It says it can happen. It can happen.
Yeah, well, I can get run over by a bus this afternoon.
Don't, Eric. We've not finished the show.
Exactly.
You shouldn't be doing it outside. Mark's on a train. You shouldn't be under a bus.
That's my whole point. And if you're seeing this story run around, and it's typical of the stories that come out in the media, where at one point the little cottage at the edge of the town has got a chimney fire. By the time the story gets to the other end of the town, the cottage is burnt down. And this is the same problem.
The time it takes the fire brigade.
This is the same problem. So, if you're seeing this story and getting a little bit worried about it, I'm not saying it can't happen, because, you know, in scientific terms, it can. The likelihood of it knocking out power grids, communication systems, and satellites is very, very small. So don't get too upset.
You said that, right, and it says here, the Northern Lights may also be visible...
Mm-hmm.
Right? And yet you just take that as red. That's fine, yeah. Oh, yeah, the Northern Lights are going to be visible.
No,
now.
I'm not. They say
they may also be visible.
Listen, don't forget, I live way above sea level here in Poprad in Slovakia. And I'm not expecting to see it. And Europe, across the whole of Europe and, of course, the world, Slovakia is one of the centres for actually stargazing. It's one of the things that's here. The atmosphere is very good. It's very clean.
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da-da.
It's got a lot of light interference as well, of pollution, isn't it?
That's right. And I'm not saying that they will be visible from here.
Neither does anybody else. That's what it says, and it's
doesn't.
It's the reporters. It says the Northern Lights may also be visible.
So, okay, this is my question to you.
Go on. Yes.
What's the difference between can and may? For example.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
No, there is. May is a very soft word, which tends to have a connotation of gentle, soft. Can tends to be harsh.
Now you're talking semantics. You're talking poetic semantics.
Correct.
And actually,
and I think that's the trouble.
Flares,
yeah.
No, there is. You know what? It's an interchangeable word. You could say the biggest flares may disrupt technology.
Now, I think if you gave that to a normal person walking down the street, they'd go, "Ain't going to happen then."
Possibly, but that's fair, isn't it? Because we don't know if it's going to happen,
right.
And nobody's really claimed it's happened. It fascinates me, though, because I remember... when did it happen before?
Crikey, there's been several of them. One occasion was really, really funny. It was before Sky Television was on. Or maybe, no, I think maybe Sky was on, but it was very embryonic. In the UK, Sky did. It's way before you got Dish in the US, boys and girls, or UPC here in Slovakia or Central Europe. And CNN was available in Europe via one of the really old Intelsat satellites. And everybody's panicking about it. I'm going, no, it will go away during this sort of time cycle, 13 years, and it will come back again. And genuinely, I sat in my office and I watched CNN disappear off the screen, and everybody's looking. I said, it'll be back in a minute, don't panic. And as it started to come back out through the set, everybody was going, whew. I'm going, hello, it's science, it was coming back, don't panic. But the
Excuse me.
What?
Excuse me. So, that flare, what, 13 years ago, disrupted technology.
Yeah, but not to the case of damaging it.
All it says is flares can disrupt technology. It doesn't say it's going to blow the world up or your computer's going to jump up and become an alien and eat you.
But that's the trouble. People do take it that way. That's the trouble.
Well, people are silly.
So the journalists are good. Never mind. Let's move on to something more serious. If you are around certain areas of Europe, you may be able to see the Aurora Borealis. Borealis, the Northern Lights, and don't panic too much until it happens. It's a bit like the year 2000 computer major bug that never was. It might absolutely do nothing, absolutely nothing. And when you consider that a satellite, which is 26,000 kilometres up in the sky, is actually under constant harm from bits of space junk, from dust.
I think you're right.
Absolute. So many dust particles up there, space particles. And that can, you know, something the size of a good old pea, if it went into the right orbital position, could actually wreck a whole bunch of satellites. But it doesn't happen.
It'd smell as well, wouldn't it?
But it doesn't happen because they, you know, scientists kind of work, proper technicians work this stuff out. So I wouldn't
pay. Can I ask you something?
You can.
Can I ask you something as an expert? When you said 26,000 kilometres up in the air, what's that in miles?
23,000, I think.
So that satellite that you've put 26,000 kilometres up in the air could very easily, with a bit of solar wind, get drifted off course and smash into the moon, which is only 2,000 kilometres further out.
They do.
What, they crash into the moon?
Not the moon, they do move all the time. They move it within a 70/80 kilometre box, and constantly, as one man from the Astra Satellite Network got most upset when I described it once in a national magazine, as a bit like a game of Space Invaders. Right.
No comment. Crash into the moon.
And what you have to do is there's thrusters on there that are burnt regularly, and the way they move it in orbit is it sits in a kind of a figure of eight style within this little cubic box, and that's what keeps the satellite there. And they fire thrusters to stop it moving off. Now, if that doesn't happen, the satellites will go out of the orbit. Absolutely. They will be blown
and crash it to the moon.
Not necessarily the moon, no, because they
will. We shoot them down.
What?
Do we actually shoot satellites down?
No.
I thought we did. No. I think you might want to check your facts there.
No, what happens at the end of the life of a satellite, before it gets too tired out and has got no fuel left, it has to be. Well, I can't remember what the word is for it now.
Decommissioned.
That's the word. Thank you very much. It's decommissioned with enough fuel on it to fire it off into outer space, and that's what they do.
That's taking a bit of chance as well, isn't it? Because
why?
There's a lot of stuff out in outer space, and if you've just fired it off and it's floating around there, I just think it's bad that you we are dumb for littering by the side of the road.
By the time you go over to Mars, the Martian police are going to come up and go, Mr. Banks, you fired a satellite out here. Here's your ticket. Pick up that rubbish and take it back to Earth. Yeah, right.
Okay. Exactly. That's the way it should be.
Before we get too far, oh my God, looking at the time. Got to mention the latest news in Bahrain, where there are immense problems. I've been watching several sheikhs on the television discussing it from the capital city. Currently, Bernie Ecclestone is already saying if you don't get it sorted out very quickly, the first F1 race of the season will not take place. Because of security worries. And let's not forget, out in Bahrain as well, there is a rather large US military base. So there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. And more recently, Libya as well, Lee.
That's right, exactly, yeah. I was just going to say, though, that, you know, when you think, this is costing the people their dear, because of various things. But you can't actually trivialise the right to vote, and that's what these people are fighting for. And I think we've got to support. In Britain, voting is like the only way we can get people in Britain to vote, you know, is to put a lottery ticket on it as well. So you go to there on the chance you might win 5 million, and you'll vote.
It should be like Australia, because in Australia you have to vote. It's law.
That's right.
And I really think it should be the same in other countries. But you're quite right. It's like everything. When something is close and around you and is there, you ignore it completely. It's when you haven't got it. And the only way I can... I'm not trying to trivialise this at all, but it's a bit like, you know, when the internet goes off for 2 days, you have no idea what the hell to do.
Yeah.
And it's as bad as that.
Yeah. Well, it's worse than that, isn't it? It's worse than that. But I understand the analogy you're making, but it is worse than that. This is the ultimate fact. Fight for freedom and rights, and to rid yourself of despots and things like that. And it should be backed. I hold my hand up. I've said this before. I don't actually vote, but I think that's my democratic right.
Yeah.
And I would fight for the right not to vote as much as fight for the right to vote. But I wouldn't fight to be. Yeah, I wouldn't fight to not have the ability to vote.
Well, that's true. And, of course, this all started off in Tunisia, and it looks like it's going right the way through the Arab region.
That's right.
There's apparently...
Like say, Spear's been hit, hasn't it?
The whole thing. Apparently there's been, and I don't know this for sure, there's been protests outside the Libyan embassy in London. 24 people have been killed in anti-government protests in Libya itself. But that's the report from a rights activist group, so we can't say when one way or the other. I'm sure, you know, there's a lot of really good people out there, but some do tend to exacerbate what's going on. And there's also been huge government or anti-government demonstrations in Yemen and Iran this week as well. So Iran is one, Yemen's another. You've obviously seen all the stuff on television with Egypt, now Bahrain. We've got Libya coming through. There's a whole breakdown of the normal situation, most of which has been going on for 4 decades out there.
That's right, yeah. No, it's a very dramatic thing that's happening out there, and I think...
You think what? He disappeared off again. I'll finish that off when he comes back. Boys and girls. I think that the real thing that we would say... I've got a message from Lee, that'll do. The real thing I would say to everybody out there is it's not for us to judge what's going on. It's not for us to decide who's right and who's wrong. But it is up to us to actually say to the people, there we are. We've got him coming back now. Blast. He's there nearly. He's back again. Good boy.
Hello.
Thank you. The truth is what we need to do is to wish everybody, the regular people out there, the best of luck. Don't try and, you know, murder your neighbour because that's rather pointless. And I do wish that you all come out with the kind of future that you want that is sustainable as well. Good luck to everybody out in the Middle East at the moment. Let's hope it all gets resolved. I'm sure it will. And it's interesting to note that whilst this is going on, and here's the shock, boys and girls, we're talking about the Middle East. It's a story which I haven't put in the whole thing because I'm not trivialising it. It's a smallish story where a young man had his child kidnapped. Now, you'd expect that in the Western society and some other societies. And I'll tell you the country in a minute. He's been having had a campaign. He's been on television. The police were getting a bit worried about him, and you know, he was stirring up trouble. And was he right? And all this sort of stuff. He then went on the internet, okay, onto a Twitter type service, and campaigned further there, Lee. Right?
Yeah. Right. Okay.
He then, luckily, his 3-year-old son was seen.
Yeah.
He went down there with the police, got his 3-year-old son. He was taken back to the village. His grandparents greeted him as he came out of the car. Everything's wonderful. What country am I talking about?
I've got to hold my hands up. I will leave you to answer that because I think it's a very important point you're making, yeah.
It's China.
Yeah, that's what I know. Exactly.
It's China. And this guy found his child on the internet. And they're all reunited back together, and we're talking China. Now, this is nothing to do with the fact I had Dr. Ma here the other day, but he actually explained some stuff that I wasn't familiar with. And I think this is the trouble, that a lot of the Arabic countries have not eased back and taken the pressures away. What China's been doing is it's been growing up.
Yeah.
And I think
that's it.
The Middle East region needs to do exactly the same thing. Right, boys and girls,
this is what they're doing,
isn't it? We must away. It's time to listen to Glenn Huddle!
RTI.
It's Glenn Huddle, boys and girls. How are you, Glenn?
I'm very well, thank you. Yeah, I've really enjoyed the hospitality here at Agra City and Poprad. So, first time to the town, but very impressed with what I've seen.
Yeah. So, why are you out here then?
Well, it's really with my academy. I run an academy down in Spain for players that have been released from football clubs, not only in England, mostly in England, but in Europe. And what we do is we try to develop them, and we try to give them that second chance to get them back once they've been released from these clubs. So it's been a project that I've put together for the last couple of years, 2.5 years. The reason I'm here is I met Terry, Yang's associate at Manta Castell. He saw what we were doing, and he liked what we were doing. He felt that Yang, being Yang, would like the concept. So he arranged us to meet in London, probably 3 or 4 months ago now. And we've had trouble getting diaries together, but eventually we've got ourselves set up, and we've come down, had a look around. There's a lot of things that I think that could be. We could have some real good synergy here. Met the Slovakian president yesterday, football president, which was interesting. And I think that, you know, I think there's a TV reality show that I think we're going to do, and the winner of that show would have a year or two, maybe two places at the academy, to see whether we could take that scenario and get a player back from, you know, he might not have been involved in a professional club for all we know. There's real diamonds out there. We've proved that to ourselves back in England by getting some of the players from amateur level right into professional level. So we've proved that, but it would be fascinating to see this reality show work and see how it goes. That's the first step, and I think there's other steps coming behind that with perhaps the GHA having a base out here, possibly for this area, and even the bordering countries in a bigger picture. Who knows? There's a hub of a talent out here, and Slovakia, what they're doing, particularly in Poprad, is fantastic. With the new stadiums coming and the vision that that Jan's got as well for what he's doing, there's some real synergies here. So that's why we're here. We're discussing that. We're trying to put plans together. And, you know, who knows where it will go. I'm sure there's maybe another 3 or 4 steps behind that, but that'll evolve if the first step is successful.
Yeah, well, your academy changed a little bit, didn't it? Because you went from an academy to then playing almost as a team locally in Spain, didn't you?
What we did is the first year we developed the players, which we're always doing. It's a development centre, really, more than an academy, to be quite honest. But we felt that possibly by putting them in the window a little bit better, in the sense that we didn't take the club over, we just took 22 places. The club was having financial problems. We helped them stay alive, and quite frankly, it's worked quite well, because we've had 5 players in the winter, you know, in the winter window, transfer window, move out because they've been playing, you know, a little bit more competitive football.
So it gives them that game experience.
A little edge, yeah, edge of the game, and it's a little bit more. DVDs looked a little bit better than rather on the training pitch matches. I mean, don't get me wrong, the first year was excellent. We played teams like Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid, Seville. Went back and played Chelsea, Man City. You know, a lot of
small clubs, like
we did play some small clubs as well. To be fair, because there's a different range of style of player that we got. But no, we thought the edge of going into Spanish third division would be good, and it has been good. You know, we were top of the league for most of the first half of the season. We've dropped down a little bit because there's been problems with registrations and whatnot. But that's something that's worked for us, and hopefully it can continue. There's slight problems what I've got to go back to sort out there. But no, the next step for the academy may evolve in a different way. Who knows in the future? But
that's football, isn't it?
That's right.
It's always evolving.
It's a moving target. Yeah.
Well, let's hope you come back and see us again. It's been an honour having you here, and good luck with the academy. It's a wonderful project.
Yeah, thank you very much. I've really enjoyed it here.
Thank you.
Cheers.
The Station of the Stars. RTI.